VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk. We do have a news roundup day today where Sandy's compiled a ton of stories from many different sources, many different topics today, and just giving you a perspective that is not prevalent in the mainstream media and coverage on a number of issues, sometimes underreported or non-reported stories. And certainly to keep you informed on critical issues. If you watch network news, folks, you're going to have a totally skewed impression as to what's going on with these impeachment hearings. And we'll be sharing with you a few issues here today and also perspective on a number of other stories. And certainly it is important for us to be understanding of the times in which we live. And there is so much at stake as it relates to our nation. Even the religious freedoms that we hold dear are all going to be impacted by events that unfold, even as we consider what's down the road as far as elections and so forth. But our trust is not in government. Our trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we keep our eyes on him. Looking into a number of stories and issues that are going on from PhyllisSchlafly.com, they write that television ratings for the impeachment hearings have been a bust, far less than the viewership during Watergate or the Clinton-Lewinsky scandal. Even the testimony of ex-FBI Director James Comey and the Brett Kavanaugh hearings had higher ratings than the latest show trial, they say. Less than 13 million people watched the first day of impeachment hearings. Polling shows that independent voters who will decide the next presidential election are unplugging this in large numbers. They write that the game plan has been to try and turn the public against President Trump before the most knowledgeable witnesses testify, and relied heavily on a number of witnesses, but finding that indeed the witnesses are not bringing forth the information for that's very substantial in this regard. A matter of fact, what's very interesting in all of this is that Kurt Volker, the former U.S. Special Envoy to Ukraine, Tim Morrison, the top National Security Council official that was on President Trump's Ukraine phone call, both confirmed during their testimonies Tuesday there was no quid pro quo. There was no bribery. There was no extortion. And Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg, Vice President Mike Pence's national security advisor, released a statement Tuesday stating that he was on the July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian president and President Trump. He heard nothing wrong or improper on the phone call. Nancy Pelosi, though, in the meantime, she had a press conference yesterday at the Capitol, said the reason why the impeachment inquiry does not have bipartisan support, she said, is that, and I quote, Republicans are in denial about the facts. She said the Republicans are in denial about the facts. If the Republicans do not want to honor their oath of office, then I don't think we should be characterized as partisan in that way because we are patriotic. That's her take on all of this. Also from Fox News First, Republicans sounded a celebratory note as House Democrats' impeachment inquiry wrapped up another day. Did anyone ask you to bribe or extort anyone at any time during your time in the White House? That was a question asked by House Intelligence Committee ranking member Devin Nunes and the former National Security Council aide Tim Morrison. No. The former U.S. Special Representative for Ukraine, Kurt Volker. No. Elise Stefanik asked whether there was indications of quid pro quo, bribery or extortion. Repeatedly, the answer is no. Also, what's interesting, and this is from the Western Journal, the Washington Post has awarded House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff three Pinocchios for his claim. Now, this is a liberal newspaper, folks, the Washington Post, and they're giving Adam Schiff three Pinocchios for his claim that the Ukraine whistleblower poses a statutory right to remain anonymous, as he claims. No federal statutes give whistleblowers the right to be anonymous. It's not a right spelled out in any statute, said the Post reporter. Neither the Intelligence Community Whistleblower Protection Act of 1998 nor any related statutes have language guaranteeing one being anonymous for whistleblowers. Well, Schiff has even stopped questions, questioning at times, saying that we have to protect the whistleblower. And he has denied knowing who the whistleblower is. How do you protect him when you don't even know who it is? Even the one of the witnesses, I don't know who the whistleblower is. And he was stopped from answering a question by Schiff for possibly revealing who it would be. Well, how can they reveal if they don't know who it is? Very interesting indeed. Well, the Western Journal also reports the fact that Donald Trump's approval rating hasn't taken much of a downturn. It's probably one of the most frustrating aspects for Democrats during the impeachment inquiry. His approval ratings have remained remarkably stable through the entire process and actually higher than President Barack Obama's during the same point in the presidency. Very interesting indeed. And something else interesting that popped up. And this is from WND.com. A key witness in the Democratic impeachment investigation, former National Security Council official Fiona Hill, worked for George Soros's Open Society Institute and has connections to Christopher Steele, the former British spy who compiled the infamous unverified and salacious dossier of Democrat-funded, party-funded opposition research on Donald Trump. A former Trump advisor accused Hill in 2017 of being a deep state spy in the White House under then National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster. Along with working for the Open Society Institute from 2000 to 2006, Hill has known Steele for years, beginning when Hill was working in Russia at the National Intelligence Council and Steele was on M16's Russia desk. Hill also was on the rostrum of speakers at the Aspen Institute Security Forum in July of 2017, along with Adam Schiff. It's amazing how things all tie together, isn't it? Also this week, and this is from CNSNews.com, Justice Department Inspector General Michael Horowitz expected to release his long-awaited report on the FBI FISA abuse on December 9th, and bits of it are starting to leak out. According to CNN, the possibility of a substantive change to an investigative document is likely to fuel accusations from President Trump and his allies that the FBI committed wrongdoing in its investigation of connections between Russian election meddling and the Trump campaign. President Trump actually called into Fox and Friends this morning and was asked if the report goes to your argument that somebody at the FBI was out to get you. President Trump said, well, it certainly does. Well, the Democratic debate was also held this week, and TV ratings all-time low. Just amazing what happened there. But while that was going on, Democratic presidential candidate Deval Patrick, this is from the Washington Free Beacon, he was forced to cancel a campaign event Wednesday night after only two people showed up. Yeah, he just launched his candidacy for the president. He was to speak at this campaign event at Morehouse College. It's a historically black university, but he canceled the event after only two students showed up. That's according to a CNN reporter, Annie Grayer. In other news this week, WND.com reports the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has a Republican-appointed majority following the Senate's confirmation of a nominee by President Trump. With the approval Tuesday of Judge Robert Luck by a 64-31 vote, the 11th Circuit became the third federal appeals court to flip to a majority of Republican-appointed judges under Trump, the Washington Times reported. From CNSNews.com, Acting Customs and Border Protection Commissioner Mark Morgan said that the administration has so far built 78 miles of new border wall where there were already existing but insufficient structures and has now started breaking ground in the Rio Grande Valley to build a new border wall in areas where there was previously no border barriers. They are coming into some complications with the acquisition of land, though, and working with a number of landowners, anywhere from 10 to 100 different landowners. Judicial Watch is reporting that more than 100,000 illegal immigrants who requested a special Obama-era amnesty for adults who came to the U.S. as children, you know, the DACA program, that more than 100,000 have committed offenses as though they've been under the DACA program, but the offenses include murder, rape, weapon, and assault charges. DACA has shielded nearly 800,000 illegal aliens under the age of 31 from deportation and allowed them to obtain work permits and, yes, driver's licenses. The Trump administration has tried to end DACA in 2017, but open borders groups sued to keep it going, and now the Supreme Court is set to decide the matter. Regardless of how the High Court may rule, the fact remains that a big chunk of DACA applicants have arrest records, according to figures released by the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services, the Homeland Security Agency that administers a nation's lawful immigration system. The stats show that nearly 110,000 DACA requesters out of nearly 889,000 had arrest records, accounting for 12% of the applicants. And folks, it gets even crazier here. WND.com reporting a judge in Salem, Oregon has banned the Immigration and Customs Enforcement from making arrests in courthouses. ICE has responded, insisting its officers will continue to carry out their duties and will consider carefully whether to refer those who obstruct our enforcement efforts for criminal prosecution. Law enforcement officials reports that Oregon Supreme Court Chief Justice Martha Walters on Thursday mandated that civil arrests in state courthouses are no longer allowed unless the arresting agency has a judicial arrest warrant. Well, ICE spokesman Tanya Roman said her agency will continue to carry out its mission to uphold public safety and enforce immigration law and consider carefully whether to refer those who obstruct our lawful enforcement efforts for criminal prosecution. The Free Beacon is reporting that California Democrats have been cutting six-figure checks to promote the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact in Colorado ahead of a referendum vote in the state next November. The MPV would change how the Electoral College operates without amending the Constitution. It pledges a state's Electoral College votes to the candidate receiving the most votes nationwide in a presidential election. What a slap in the face to Colorado voters. I mean, here, even if your state votes one party, but the national popular vote goes for the other party, you would have to surrender your votes in order to appease the national popular vote? Democratic calls for changes to the Electoral College gained traction following the 2000 presidential election when George Bush narrowly won the Electoral College. Very interesting indeed. And we see the same thing with Hillary and President Donald Trump as well. Going to Newsmax.com, Chief Justice John Roberts has ordered an indefinite delay Monday in the House of Representatives' demand for President Donald Trump's financial records to give the Supreme Court time to figure out how to handle the high-stakes dispute. The court's hold could last a matter of days or weeks, but the delay could extend for months if the justices decide they need to hear arguments and to issue a written opinion. ISIS has revealed a guide to killing world leaders, reports Mail Online. It's titled Ways to Assassinate Leaders, giving three ways for would-be jihadists to execute leaders, officials, and military commanders. It provides a chilling guide of how to pose as a journalist and conceal a weapon inside a camera to wreak havoc at news conferences. The Mujahid brother dressed up in the journalist's clothes may participate in news conferences, forums, and meetings, which will enable him to target key enemy figures. He may also use the camera as an explosive device or hide a weapon inside. Very interesting. Three-part guide provides further methods involving the targeting of VIP convoys, use of medium and long-range sniper rifles, and also scoping out a potential area to attack and monitor a convoy's route to expose security flaws. ISIS revealing a guide now to kill world leaders, giving three ways for would-be jihadists to execute leaders, officials, and military commanders. More news after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, the pterosaurs were flying reptiles, but were they good flyers or not?
Chris, it's hard to know because we've never seen one fly. We do see their skeletal remains, and some of them were absolutely huge. How could they have flown? A scientific study of some of their skulls has given us some clues. That portion of the brain which integrates input from the different sensory organs was large in the pterosaurs, much larger than in other creatures. This gives us the impression that the creature was a good flyer. Of course, evolutionists propose that all these functions and organs came about by natural selection. What could have given some non-flying creature this ability? A much better idea is that God created these huge creatures as a monument to his creative ability and imagination. Today, we just sit back and marvel. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
It's a News Roundup Day here today on Crosstalk, and we thank you for tuning in for the broadcast as we report on either underreported or that which is totally ignored by so much media across this land, but a lot that is taking place. We're going to look at a story from Breitbart. A street gang leader, purported street gang leader from suburban Chicago, faces federal charges accusing him of seeking to provide money to ISIS, to Islamic State militants in Syria. According to a complaint unsealed in U.S. District Court in Chicago, Jason Brown, the 37-year-old leader of the AHK gang, could be heard on secret FBI recordings speaking admiringly about beheadings by the Islamic State group. AHK, which prosecutors say traffics drugs throughout the Chicago area, is comprised of former members of the Black Peystone, gangster disciples, and Four Corner Hustlers who converted to Islam. The gang requires all new members to convert to Islam. Brown handed over $500 on three occasions this year to someone he believed would wire it, to the Islamic State fighter. He is charged with attempting to provide material support and resources to a foreign terrorist organization, reports Breitbart. And then CNN reports that yesterday in court, he entered no plea. And just 3 days after the DOJ announced his arrest, federal authorities arrested another individual, a 20-year-old, a student at DePaul University, for the same charge, attempting to provide material support to ISIS. New York Times reporting that the Trump administration declared Monday that the United States does not consider Israeli settlements in the West Bank a violation of international law, reversing four decades of American policy and removing what has been an important barrier to annexation of Palestinian territory. Settlements have been a main sticking point in the peace negotiations that have failed to find a solution. After this was done, Benjamin Netanyahu, prime minister of Israel, said after President Trump recognized Jerusalem as a capital of Israel and recognized their sovereignty over the Golan Heights, now the American administration put an end to a lie that settlements are illegal. I thank President Trump and I thank Secretary of State Pompeo. Israelis elated at the news, and that decision was praised. Also, yesterday announced that the Israeli prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, indicted on corruption charges in three separate cases, according to Israel's justice ministry. It'll be very interesting to see what transpires there. Lord willing, on Monday, David Rubin will be joining us from Israel and will be giving us perspectives on many of these issues here today. Let's go to lifenews.com. The ACLU honored Christine Blasey Ford, who had accused Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh of sexual assaulting her when they were teens. They gave her the Roger Baldwin Courage Award at the ACLU of Southern California's Bill of Rights Awards dinner. She said, "When I came forward last September, I did not feel courageous. I was simply doing my duty as a citizen, providing information to the Senate that I believed would be relevant to the Supreme Court nomination process. I thought anyone in my position would, of course, do the same thing." Well, we find out much of what had to be presented there, lawmakers did not find truthful at all. New York law forces churches and Christian groups to hire pro-abortion employees. Life News reports that attorneys representing a faith-based pregnancy center, a church, and other religious nonprofits filed a lawsuit late last week in federal court against the state of New York, challenging a law that forces them to hire employees who disagree with the fundamental beliefs and mission of the organizations. SB 660 was signed by Governor Andrew Cuomo last Friday, requiring all employers, including churches, religious schools, faith-based pregnancy care centers, and religious nonprofits, to disavow their beliefs about abortion, contraception, and sexual morality by forcing them to hire and employ those who refuse to abide by the organization's statements of faith. Alliance Defending Freedom filed a lawsuit on behalf of Compass Care, and they note that this SB 660 is the third in a trio of abortion protective and abortion advancing laws passed by the New York State Legislature this year. Their senior counsel, Ken Connolly, said, quote, "No government has a right to tell pro-life or religious organizations that they must hire someone who doesn't agree with their core mission." Life News also reporting that research by the Wall Street Journal this week found that Google appears to be manipulating its algorithms to direct people to the billion-dollar abortion chain Planned Parenthood. The newspaper's findings provide more evidence of the online and news media bias that pro-life advocates have suspected for years. In July and August, their journalists typed the word abortion into Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, and other search engines. Comparing the organic search results on the first page, Planned Parenthood's main website made up 39% of all results on Google, but 14% on Bing, 16% on DuckDuckGo. Based on its research, the Wall Street Journal concluded that Google keeps blacklists to remove certain sites or prevent others from surfacing in certain types of results. The Daily Signal reporting an Illinois school district ruled last Thursday that transgender students will have unrestricted access to bathrooms of their choice. Board members voted to give unrestricted locker room and restrooms access to transgender students. Students shall be treated and supported in a manner consistent with their gender identity, which shall include statements having access to restrooms and locker rooms that correspond to their gender identity, the updated school policy says. Parents and students spoke out who were worried about their children's privacy. From townhall.com, the Democratic Attorney General's Association became the first committee of a national party to establish support for abortion as a litmus test required to receive candidate funding from the group. The New York Times reported Monday that the group will refuse to endorse anyone who does not support reproductive rights and expanding access to abortion services. The group, the Democratic Attorney General's Association, recruits candidates and helps their campaigns with financial support, data analysis, messaging, and policy positions, the New York Times reports. But in order to get their backing, candidates must publicly declare their support for the murdering of babies in the womb, otherwise known as abortion. The Christian Institute reporting New Zealand's parliament voted in favor of introducing assisted suicide. The public will vote in a referendum to decide the issue next year. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf, LifeNews.com reports, on Wednesday vetoed a bill to protect unborn babies with Down syndrome from discrimination. The Down Syndrome Protection Act passed the Senate on Wednesday in a 27-22 vote. The bill would prohibit an abortion solely based on the diagnosis of Down syndrome, but Governor Wolf vetoed the legislation. In a statement, the governor called the legislation a, quote, "restriction on women and medical professionals and interferes with women's health care and the crucial decision-making between patients and their physicians." He said enforcement of the bill would upend the doctor-patient relationship and impede on patient confidentiality. Ahead of this veto, he slammed the bill in a statement to the AP, claiming that it seeks to limit health care choices for women and politicize difficult moments for vulnerable families. Yes, you may kill your Down syndrome babies. Wow. Governor Wolf vetoing that in Pennsylvania. Let's take another look at Down syndrome. Inspiring story coming from Faith Wire this week. A compassionate teacher has adopted her own student after his mom died of cancer. The incredible story began 4 years ago with a brutally honest conversation between special ed teacher Carrie Bremer and Jean Manning, a terminally ill mother. Though the pair had only known each other for a matter of months, their conversation would prove to be life-altering both for Carrie and for Manning's son Jake, who has Down syndrome. "I said I must be overstepping here, and forgive me if I am, but my family and I would like to offer guardianship for Jake if you need a backup plan," Bremer recalled to the interviewer. Through tears, Jean accepted her offer. Bremer noted that she fell in love with Jake instantly, could not help but offer him a place in that family. "I knew he would need a home, and there was no way I wouldn't open our home to his," she said. Well, November 13th, his mother passed away. She passed, and Jean honored her promise, and Jake moved into the family house. The house was already filled with Jake's toys and clothes from the countless hours he'd been spending there while his mom went through the grueling treatment. The transition was tough, but it's going well so far. "We never thought twice about it," Manning said of their decision to welcome Jake into their family. "I love this kid so much. He has done more for us than we could ever do for him." What a marvelous testament of love for someone with Down syndrome, something that the governor of Pennsylvania just denied. Let's go to lifenews.com. Another story here. Disturbing statistics have exposed the rise in recent repeat abortions in the UK. Listen to this. Figures obtained by Sky News through Freedom of Information Act requests reveal that in 2018, 143 women underwent at least their eighth abortion. That's right, eight abortions. They also exposed that five teenagers were among 718 women who had at least their sixth abortion. Teenagers on their sixth abortion. 143 women had an abortion last year, having previously had seven or more. They use the word terminations. I'll say that's killing in the womb. 172 women had their seventh abortion. 403 women had their sixth. 1,298 women, including five teenagers, had their fifth in 2018. 23 teens had their fourth. Overall, over 84,000 repeat abortions were performed in Britain in 2018, including 3,332 on teenagers, with the overall figure up 7% on 2017 and an 11% rise on 2016. Teenagers on their fourth and fifth abortions, other adults on their eighth abortions. It's health care. That's what it's all about. Thank you, UK health system. Interesting story from WND.com. The overwhelming majority of women failed the new Army combat fitness test. A new report from the Center for Military Readiness reveals 84% of the women who take a new Army combat fitness test fail. That's one of the signs that the social experiment launched during the Barack Obama administration isn't working, CMR says. They said that during the Obama administration, Pentagon officials bought into false promises of a gender-free military. Men and women could be equally capable, immune to sexual attraction, interchangeably be in physically challenging missions. Found most men could lift heavy barbells above their head. 92% of female participants could not. Injury rates for women prove 2 to 6 times higher as well. Other statistics coming forth here, but the overwhelming majority of women have failed the new Army combat fitness test. The Census Bureau estimates, this is from rollcall.com, about 1 million same-sex married and unmarried couples are living together nationwide, according to new figures released on Tuesday. San Francisco, California, and Washington, D.C. ranked number 1 and number 2 on a newly published Census Bureau table that lists 18 U.S. selected cities by the percentage of households living there in 2017 that were headed by same-sex couples. They report that in San Francisco, 3% of all households are same-sex households, 2.9% in Washington, D.C., 2.1% in Portland. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk on VCY America, and I'm going to share just a few more stories with you, and then we'll be opening phone lines today where you'll have opportunity to comment on these or other current event stories. So let's take the break. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
From Ray Comfort and Living Waters comes the dramatic film Audacity, tackling a very divisive issue today, homosexuality. Challenged by a co-worker to defend his convictions about homosexuality and same-sex marriage, Peter has to consider if he has the courage to stand for what he believes, even at the risk of losing a friendship. How will he respond when faced with a harrowing life or death experience? Audacity uses a unique approach to address a very contemporary issue and challenges the viewer to reach out and approach the greatest spiritual need everyone faces. Audacity is a 55-minute powerful dramatic film that will impact your life. Get your copy of Audacity for a donation of $5 or 5 copies for a donation of $18. 10 copies for $25 when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Welcome back to our news roundup on Crosstalk on VCY America. As I want to share a few more stories in with you today, and then we'll give you opportunity to share your thoughts on some of the current event happenings. The interesting story that came out of, this is the Iron Mountain Daily News, Iron Mountain, Michigan. Florence County on Tuesday, this would be Florence County, Wisconsin, became the first in the state, the first in Wisconsin to designate itself as a Second Amendment sanctuary. You see, the Democratic Governor Tony Evers had called for a special session on gun control, which was basically gaveled in and gaveled out. But it was enough to convince a number of Florence County residents such a public declaration was needed. They're the first in Wisconsin to declare itself a Second Amendment sanctuary. About half the counties in Illinois have taken the same step, and states such as Idaho and Wyoming, all counties have adopted that status. From the Western Journal, Mark Cady, the Chief Justice of the Iowa Supreme Court, who wrote key decisions on homosexual marriage and abortion access, died at the age of 66, dying unexpectedly. That would be, I believe it's now 2 weeks ago, from a heart attack. His family had mentioned he had been a key swing vote on the court in recent years. He wrote the 2009 unanimous opinion that made Iowa the nation's third state to permit so-called same-sex marriage. Last year, he led a 5-2 majority of justices who concluded that a law requiring women to wait 72 hours before a doctor could perform the killing of a baby inside the womb. He ruled that as being unconstitutional, and he sided with the majority in a 4-3 decision 3 years ago that barred sentences of life without parole for teenagers. He worked to limit a 2017 law that allowed guns to be carried in courthouses throughout the state. Speaking of guns, former Vice President Joe Biden has been really taking aim on the issue of guns, and from the Seattle Times, while saying he supports the Second Amendment, Biden called the absolutist arguments of some gun rights supporters bizarre, noting people can't own machine guns or bazookas, Biden said. And then he asked this, and I want you to listen carefully. Why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9mm bullets and can hold 10 or more rounds? Did you hear that? Why should we allow people to have military-style weapons, including pistols with 9mm bullets and can hold 10 or more rounds? Interesting story as well from WND.com that came out within the last 24 hours. A children's book available through outlets now like Barnes & Noble's, Target, Amazon, raising eyebrows for its descriptions on how children can summon demons. Don't want to take out the trash tonight? Maybe you're swimming in homework? Perhaps that big bully is being a real drag? Well, grab your colored pencils and sigil drawing skills and dial up some demons. But be careful, even if these spirits are more silly than scary, they are still demons, states the overview of the book from Barnes & Noble. It's a, quote, children's book of demons. And it is designed for children ages 5 to 10. Breaking Israel News reported for parents looking to introduce their kids to devil worship, Walmart and Amazon are now selling a new children's book entitled The Children's Book of Demons. In the About section, the publishers tried to turn the act of summoning demons into a kid-friendly activity, saying summoning demons has never been so much fun. Some time ago, we had Brad Dacus on Crosstalk, and if you recall, there was this attempt to relabel this Christian boarding school as being another type of center, and they were trying to have great state regulations on them. Well, we just learned Wednesday of this week, a Christian boarding school in Northern California won a reprieve in court against the state of California's ideologically driven efforts to shut it down. The dispute centers on the state's unilaterally labeling of the school as a community care facility. The label would force the school into heavy regulations by the State Department of Social Services, including mandates that would violate the school's religious mission. And this past Wednesday, a judge struck that down. We'd like to open our phone lines here today in Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on some of the current news events that are taking place, maybe it's something we read or something that's just going on, you'd like to comment on, our number 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Interesting story from LifeSiteNews.com. When Wisconsin's newly installed Democratic governor chose to refer to the statehouse Christmas tree as a holiday tree, his predecessor, Republican Scott Walker, spoke out in order to educate the liberal now occupying the governor's mansion, the story says. This is a Christmas tree that is used by people celebrating Christmas, wrote Walker above a picture of a beautifully decorated Christmas tree. This is not a holiday tree, he added. And to underscore his point, then he issued a second tweet. This is a menorah, wrote Walker. This is lit during the Festival of Lights as part of Hanukkah. This is not a holiday candle holder, he added. In an interview on Fox and Friends, former Governor Walker pointed out the glaring discrepancy in terminology between Governor Evers and the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. What's so interesting, and Governor Walker says you can't really make this up, the state agency that deals with agriculture and trade, the same week that this turnaround was made, where Governor Evers now called it a holiday tree, actually put out a release talking about the sale of what? Of Christmas trees. That's right. The Christmas tree season has begun. And meanwhile, the governor is putting out this is a holiday tree. Interesting discrepancy there as well. Again, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Richard in Grand Junction, Colorado, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to see if there had been any further developments concerning the Chick-fil-A decision. I'm very hopeful, based on what I heard on the program yesterday, that they're going to get hammered. I hate to do it, but I'm going to boycott them, and I hope millions of our fellow American Christian citizens will do likewise, and that they'll quickly realize what a grievous error they made.
Well, I have not seen anything. Chick-fil-A has not responded to us. I have seen more investigative stories, though, that have come out in this regard. For instance, there's an interesting piece that came out today from Daniel Greenfield, who indicates that Chick-fil-A had put an Obama and Hillary supporter in charge of this. And matter of fact, one that's been had a key role in the Chick-fil-A Foundation had been one that was a financial supporter of Hillary Clinton. They have got a Daniel Greenfield put out a it's about 5 pages, just over a 5-page report at frontpagemag.com today, in which he goes into further history that looks like for some time this change has been going on at Chick-fil-A. So we don't know of any change in their policy at this point. And based upon the steps that they have taken, it unless something remarkable happens, they have started to change a course that's been underway behind the scenes for at least many, many months.
Well, we can only pray that they pay at the pocketbook level, and that the message is sent loud and clear. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Milwaukee. John, you're on the air.
Afternoon. Just want to ask if anyone thinks that Adam Schiff reminds them of Pee Wee Herman. Thank you.
Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
God bless you, and God bless all you saints. And I'm calling, I'm hoping a person named Eric that called and said about Christians to stay out of their business if it's two men together or if it's two women together. Well, we're light, and you're talking about like darkness. And I want to say this. I go to the VA, and down the street is a center where young boys and girls have been molested by their fathers and by their mother's girlfriends and everything. And we're praying and we're witnessing to people that the Lord loves them and they can come out of that darkness and be delivered from, I'm not going to call it sodomy. I'm going to call it just what it is, from being a pervert. That's what it is. The Bible says, man shall not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And Deuteronomy 22 and 5 says, and a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man, you hear that, Eric? Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. We're not talking against you. We're talking that we love you and don't want to see your soul end up eternally in hell. The Lord died for you. He cared for you. He sent his son down here for you. Man, get saved. Let the Lord come in. I'm talking to all you homosexuals out of here. I don't like to call it homosexual, but I can't remember the name that God called it right now. But you can be delivered from that. I pray that sodomite thing that is supposed to happen in Fort Lauderdale here that you had on your program where they said it's going to be the biggest gathering together of homosexuals in the United States. I pray all the time that God just tear it down before it even go up.
Okay,
but
Courtney,
that's all I wanted to say. You mothers, you fathers, guard your kids. Just guard your kids.
Thank you, Courtney.
And like that filth they want to teach them about calling demons. You know that ain't nothing but the devil. God bless you all, and have a wonderful weekend in the Lord. And thank you for letting me say what I said.
Thank you, Courtney. Russell in St. Mary's, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I really don't have no problem with Donald Trump calling for an investigation on the Bidens, because if he hadn't, we would probably not know nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to be against the law for any of our public servants that's getting paid by the taxpayers to get gifts. And I remember hearing about Hillary getting $500,000 worth of jewelry from the King of Saudi Arabia, and Barack Obama got $250,000 worth of art. And I think they ought to be investigated also.
Russell, thanks for your thoughts here today. From West Virginia, let's go to Idaho. And Meridian, Idaho, Carol, you're on the air.
Thank you. Concerning the Downs abortions of Downs children.
Yes.
When several years ago, before I became a school teacher, I worked in a school with children that from 18 months to 3 years that were Downs, and they were absolutely the sweethearts of the school, and they are intelligent. They are very teachable. They have good hearts. I don't see where anybody could want to abort them.
Yeah. Thank you for your comments here today. Yes, it's hard to fathom that, to say we're better off killing, shedding blood of these innocent ones. Thank you for the call. We'll be back in a minute. We'll take more of your calls after the break on Crosstalk. Our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In Christianity Today, in October of 1960, then FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover wrote an article in Christianity Today warning America's pastors that their pulpits were a target by the communist. He warned them the communist would use masking terms to bring them along and aid them in furthering the communist ideas and philosophies. He said they will do this in many ways, but one of them is by using terms like Well, we're just about love and justice, the brotherhood of men. Let's not fight. Let's work together. We're about peace and economic justice and civil liberties. My friends, this is exactly what's happening today. It's out in the open. And now, communist promoting guys are openly penetrating the church in America with front groups, just as J. Edgar Hoover warned.
It's a news roundup Friday on Crosstalk. By the way, the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, HRC Foundation, in partnership with the Equality Federation Institute, announced that a record-setting 88 cities across the United States earned the highest possible score in the 8th annual Municipal Equality Index, which they say is the only nationwide assessment of LGBTQ inclusion in municipal law, policy, and services. 88 cities having the highest score, up from 78 in 2018 and only 11 in the year 2012. We have Roger calling next from Montrose, Minnesota. You're on the air, Roger.
Yes, this is a question concerning the Chick-fil-A thing yesterday. And if I understood it correctly, instead of donating to the Salvation Army, they're going to be donating to Covenant House. And I'm wondering if that Covenant House is the one that's in New York. I believe it was started by a Catholic nun, and it's in New York and a few other cities. Is that the same one?
Well, I am sorry I don't have their corporate address with me here, but I do know that Covenant House has a very strong tie within the LGBT movement. And I just cannot say on the spot where their headquarters is or where they were founded.
Well, that was my question. It is the Covenant House that is that relatively large charity. It's out of New York, and I think they have a few other places. But
okay.
Is that the Covenant House?
I just answered that, Roger. I don't have quick access to know where their corporate headquarters are in that regard, but I'm sure you can quickly find that on the web. Don in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, Jim. I just came across an article in Sword of the Lord about Muslim kids in Philadelphia dancing to Chopping Heads' jihad song. And they're saying that they're going to teach kids to kill, and it's all wrong from what I see, what I hear. Hmm. And it's anti-Jewish as well. They're teaching little kids to kill in Islam. And today, God doesn't speak in a voice. He speaks in a verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And my advice to Muslims is do what Jesus said to do in 10:13 Romans. For whosoever shall call upon my name, that's Jesus' name, shall be saved. From the devil and from hellfire. Thank you.
Okay, Don. Arlene in Phoenix, Arizona, you're on the air. Hello, Arlene.
Oh, thank you. If Chick-fil-A really had the same Christian viewpoints, what they could do is they could keep funding the same Christian organizations and add to it the funding of another organization that would give loving support to LGBT people and those who'd had abortions, at the same time giving them the gospel and teaching them about God's love and forgiveness.
Okay, thank you, Arlene, for your thoughts. Our number 800-733-9829. Lori in Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I did security assistance at the U.S. Embassy overseas in a very hostile nation, but I did the same job they keep talking about, that this whole thing against Trump is about. And I'll tell you, it's true that what the Republicans are saying, that it's normal to hold back on security assistance. The government should never take our tax dollars and spend them until they're absolutely sure. And I know there was a transition to a new president in the Ukraine. So my husband and I were sitting watching this, and we're listening to the testimony, and this is our job, that we did, or my husband, he even took the class with me, the Defense Institute for Securities Management. So in behalf of Trump, he was 100% correct on waiting and pausing, and he actually helped Ukraine and gave them the missiles they needed, where Obama did not. And so I think this misinformation campaign by the Democrats and the media, that's very dangerous for our country, and we need to really be praying for Trump and for this whole country, that their eyes will be open to see the truth about everything.
Amen. Thank you, Lori. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Alabama, and Vanjie, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to make a comment about Down syndrome. I have a nephew who is 43 years old, and he is the most wonderful young man that you could imagine. And his father is a preacher, but this young man, he knows his Bible. You ask him a question, and he can usually tell you what the answer is. Plus, he can give you the verse in the chapter in the book that it's found in. These people are wonderful. And I don't know, I didn't hear the beginning of your show, so I don't know what was said about them, but we love this guy, and our life would not be the same without him, and I thank the Lord for him.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for your call here. And in essence, what we shared in the story is that they had legislators in Pennsylvania put forth legislation that would make it against the law to kill a Down syndrome baby in the womb based upon it having Down syndrome. The governor of Pennsylvania just vetoed that legislation. Brad in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. This idea that we counsel people not to murder their unborn baby, and therefore all of a sudden we take on an obligation that we have to support them because they're not going to kill their unborn baby, is a lot of baloney. What is so terrible in not sinning and killing your unborn baby? Just don't do that. We're not telling you, we're not saying that your means of support has to disappear, and there's no reason why it should disappear.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, to cut the sin out of your life, and you'd probably be doing better, if anything. So this idea that we have to support the LGBT if we tell them not to sin, or support the people who want to kill their unborn if they decide not to kill the unborn, we have to support them? Come on.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
And just quickly in closing from Faith Wire, interesting story. A Bolivian police officer praised God for sparing his life after his pocket Bible stopped a bullet from entering his chest. According to the officer in question, the live 9mm round was fired at him from a weapon that had been stolen from the police during clashes between supporters loyal to their former president. And Oscar Gutierrez, head of the Special Force, explained how his officer was shot in the chest, but that the bullet did not hurt him. It had a Bible in his pocket that stopped the projectile. Wow, truly amazing. Well, folks, much going on in our world. Let's keep praying for this nation, and let's be salt and let's be light. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.